Here we go. We are on record now.
Uh-oh. What's with you, Regis?
So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Regis Lewis, the Director of Product Management for the Tools. And what we're going to do today is going over the JDEV 10G 10.1.3 new features and have an overview of what are these new features. We're also going to go at the end of the presentation, we're going to go through what's next. So if you have any questions during the presentation about what's next, that's going to be the next, the last couple of slides. Feel free to stop me. We're not that many together today, so feel free to stop me, ask any questions along the way. I'll try to do my best to answer them. So this release is like probably one of the most exciting release we've done with a bunch of new features and with a very clear focus. First focus was on improving the user experience, and we'll go through the presentation to see what it means, both in terms of documentation as well as in terms of UI for the tool itself. The other focus was on productivity for Java development, which is kind of two ways, productivity when coding in Java, so productivity for the coder itself, for the coding editor, but also productivity when developing an application with much more choices for ADF and much more declarative and visual type of development. And finally, it's also a lot of focus on supporting the latest release of J2E 1.4, because 10.1.3, the JDeveloper 10.1.3, comes with the application server 10.1.3, which is the release of the app server that supports J2E 1.4. So as far as the design time is concerned, we have made sure that we could support all these features in the tool. The interesting thing also about JDev and the fact that it's a very exciting release, this is really becoming the integrated tool for the entire platform. This is really where every component of the Fusion middleware stack is exposing all their design time. So this is really like coming to this very well-integrated tool. And the other thing that I want to mention here is that JDEV 10.1.3 is the basis, is the foundation of the technology stack we are using for Oracle Fusion. It means that our developers here in HQ are starting now to use JDeveloper 10G and ADF to build Oracle Fusion, and this is also part of this whole excitement about this this release.
So, Regis, you mentioned design, and that kind of prompted the question about Oracle Designer. This seems to be what Oracle Designer was, or the intention is that it will be. As far as analysis tools as well.
I don't think we ever attempted with Designer to be the design time for the entire platform. It was probably at a different level with Designer.
Yeah.
In here, what we want to make sure at Oracle is that we don't offer 10 different design times to work with the entire stack. And that we see the value of integrating all the design time within one shell, that is JDev, so people can use the same gestures, the same concepts, the same terminology when working with any of the components of the stack.
So, but that goes back, I think, to the question about analysis tools. You know, Designer did provide that.
Yep.
And we don't see those in a big way yet. You know, there's some there, but we don't have probably the depth of design that we had with Designer.
We don't have the depth that we had with Designer, that's for sure. We have UML diagramming, which is more geared towards the coder or the requirement analysis, more on the coding side than
right.
on the architect analysis side. This is like a future type of thing we want to work on, but not in that release.
Okay.
We have extended the number of UML modelers we support, but not to the extent that you would have in Designer.
Right. So there's still a place for Designer.
There's still a place for Designer if you want to have repository-based development where we store all the metadata into the database and where you want to use these analysis diagrams that we don't support yet in JDEV.
Okay. So I like the word yet because I think that answers my question.
Yeah.
Well, so is the plan that is Fusion going to wait until these architecture pieces are in place, or what's Fusion going to be doing for... I mean, clearly at this point, probably what Fusion needs to be doing for the next 6 months to a year is massively architecture related. So what are they going to use?
Well, the architecture, and I guess we'll go on the tangent a little bit of the presentation, but just to address that, the architecture is pretty well defined already. think as far as the architecture is concerned, the all the building blocks are there with this 10.1.3 release, even though there are many requirements that we're still working on to address, specific requirements that they have. But the majority, the vast majority of the architecture and the vast majority of the building blocks are there today with this release.
Okay, so Fusion is going to use JDeveloper to do, like, you know, their data modeling and metadata architecture?
They're going to use JDeveloper to do all their, many of their coding, and as far as the modeling and requirements analysis are concerned, they're probably going to use also part of JDev for that.
Okay.
But, we can maybe take this kind of a more general question at the end. Well, let's try to go through the overview of what we have today before we go to what's next.
Is everyone seeing the top line of that title?
You don't see the top line of the title?
Well, I see the most exciting is cut in half.
Oh.
Does anybody else see that? Oh, there.
No, I have the whole screen, so.
Is it better now, Peter?
Yeah, I can see it now.
Okay, I just moved my mouse there, so I just need to remind me to remove it again if you don't see it again.
Does anybody else have that?
No. I didn't see it either. I can only see the second line.
Okay, good.
But now I see it all.
Now I see it all.
Okay.
Okay.
So the last point I want to say about JDev is that it's free. Now the whole design time is totally free now, as you all know. So I guess you guys are all pretty well knowledgeable about JDev and probably also about 10.1.3, but we're going to try to go over the different focus areas and see, look at an overview of all the different release features we have in this new release. So let's go through the user experience first. Something that we've heard a lot in previous releases is that people were really asking for more documentation and they didn't find their way through the tool or didn't know where to start. So we kind of looked at all these requirements and tried to address most of them. First, in the tool, by making sure that the documentation is really present there, that you can call the documentation in context of what you're trying to do. And there are new features like dynamic help. When you are working on a specific technology or doing a specific task, then the help system can adapt to where you are currently working on. There is also these cue cards where you can click on a cue card to learn how to do a specific thing. And by going through the cue card, the tool can also launch some panels or show you how to do things. And this is pretty cool for the newbies or for someone that wants to learn like a new technology within the tool or a new feature in the tool, because that's really going to drive you through all the steps needed to perform a specific task. As far as the product is concerned, the documentation within the product. There is also documentation now available outside of the product through an extensive developer's guide. People working with ADF, with the development framework, very often have required to have a very comprehensive guide plus an application that comes with it to learn what are the best practices and how to build an application with this stack. So we've built this developer's guide, which is like 600 plus pages, to cover how to build an application with ADF. And it also comes with a whole sample that illustrates with code all the different topics that are mentioned in the developer's guide.
Developer's guide in the help system within the tool.
It is in the help system within the tool, but it's also available as a PDF.
Right.
And that's mainly what people are looking at. And very often people are looking at the PDF and printing the PDF, even though this is 600 pages,
right,
so they can refer to it as really a guide.
It's incredible. It's unbelievable.
You tried it already?
I was quite impressed. Not the demo, but the developer's guide is incredible.
And there's another developer's guide coming up with a different stack. So we have one developer's guide right now out for the TopLink stack, and there is one for ADF Business Component stack that's coming up. On top of this, also like white papers and view lists and how-tos that we are keeping on releasing on the on OTN. So I really encourage you to have a look at there at OTN on a regular basis, because we're going to keep on adding new stuff there. So So that's one point, user experience. The other point was also making sure that the UI of the tool was a little bit more modern and that we used like a nicer colors, like a better user experience as a whole within the tool. So that's the screenshot here of the 10.1.2 release of JDeveloper. And on the next slide here, that's the new version, the 10.1.3, where all the color scheme has changed. We have like gradients on all the different colors. We've changed the way that the everything was shaped. Everything is more rounded. Everything is more modern and more appealing to work with. So that's the focus on the user experience. Second focus was on coder productivity, where we have added a lot of features for the coder in the tool. We historically have been compared with other tool or other IDE like Eclipse or IntelliJ, and coders that are spending their whole day just coding in Java were giving us requirement about, hey, you know, we have these great refactoring features or all these great features within Eclipse or IntelliJ, and JDeveloper was a little bit running behind on those features, and that was a big focus for this release to catch up with all these different features for the coder. And that's what we've done in this release. First, refactoring was something that was really missing in terms of depth of refactoring that we were offering. Now we offer more than 35 new refactoring operations. You can refactor pretty much anything for your members, refactor your classes, refactor within the comments or not within the comments. And you have like so many different options of refactoring that you can do pretty much whatever you want. Also, drag and drop refactoring, where you can click on a class and just drag it and drop it in another package, and the refactoring is going to happen automatically.
Okay, now, before when you were talking about refactoring, I mean, it was sort of a pseudonym for renaming, whereas when I think of refactoring, I guess the archetypal example that comes to mind is Martin Fowler's book with all of his refactoring examples. Are you still thinking in terms of refactoring means renaming, or have you stepped up to refactoring, meaning trying to make code better?
It's both. It's both. Renaming was the first thing, because that's the first thing you're trying to do when you're starting a new project, renaming a lot of things, and you want everything to kind of follow what you've done. But it's going further than just the renaming. It's also going through when you try to refactor a piece of code, you want the files that are associated to that code to also be refactored. Things along those lines.
But it sounds still more like you're thinking in terms of you've got code that you're making an alteration to, and you're making that alteration propagate.
If you look at the menu, it's like, extract, constant, and super types, and it's really more like what Eclipse does and what Martin Fowler is talking about, I think.
Okay, cool. So
it's more sophisticated than just renaming it.
Okay, so you have done some of that next level.
Yeah,
and I've been looking at it because I noticed before that in the early access edition there was a bug where you couldn't refactor an entity bean, so I'm hoping that they fix it in the production release. But there's a lot of extra features, I think, that are really useful if you're really, doing a Java project.
This seems to be more on the Java side, though, right? There's no refactoring for, like, a JSF JSP.
You have also refactoring for a JSF page, too.
It wasn't in early access.
Yeah, you can try the production one.
Okay, so that was added?
I don't know when it was added, but I'm pretty sure that we have also refactoring of your page too.
Yeah, because it requires the going to the faces config and renaming stuff there and going to the page def, and those weren't covered before.
That's right. Well, that's something I could confirm for you, but I'm pretty sure it's been added.
All right, I'll take a look too. Thanks.
So with all these addition to refactoring, we have pretty good feedback from people that have been using Eclipse or IntelliJ before, saying that we are pretty much on par with this kind of features, and if not like going a little bit above compared to in some areas. Another thing is code navigation, where you want to navigate through your code, you want to find the usage of your code, so you can right-click on another class and look at where this class has been used, to have some kind of an impact analysis type of idea if you've changed something. You can also move through your code, navigate between the methods using a lot of keyboard type of shortcuts, which really make your whole experience once you've learned all these shortcuts like much more productive when working with your Java code. Code formatting is another thing where you can specify what are your preferences in terms of code formatting. How do you want your member ordered? How do you want to name your fields? How do you want to import to be all together? How do you want to format your actual Java code? How do you want your indentation to behave? What kind of braces do you want? I mean, there are like a lot of very fine-grained type of preferences you can set here. So the code formatting really adapts to what you're trying to do. And at the code editor level, there are a bunch of pretty cool features as well, like the code assist, where when you're typing, you have a little a light bulb in the margin that tells you you have some code assist suggestions. So you can implement some, surround your code with whether a try-catch or anything that is along those lines, or about exceptions or removing things that are unused. Anything where the tool says, hey, here's a suggestion. It's displayed here as a light bulb. Code folding is something also that is pretty cool, where you can fold, unfold your code for better visibility and readability. The overview margin, where you can see at a glance where in your code there are errors or warning. The task list is something also very new that we start doing more and more with. So you can use the task list to specify the task you have to do that remains to be done, but we're also using it to let you know what are the things that needs to be done after like a run compilation. And in the margin too, you can like navigate easily to the interface you're implementing or to the class you're subclassing. Things along those lines that, again, makes the whole productivity way higher when coding in Java. In terms of agile type of development, we were supporting already in 10.1.2 Ant and JUnit. We just increased our and improved our integration because that's really the key part of a project. Coding an application is not just coding it, but building the application, being able to deploy it in a batch way, and testing in a unit way all the different pieces is something very important. And if you look at the demo we've provided with ADF, it also includes all the Ant scripts and the JUnit script to test and deploy the application. So that's something we spend a good deal of time working on to improve the support for Ant, where you can go to your build XML file and have code inside in there. And you can change your Ant version. You can configure which Ant version you want to use, so you don't have to use the version we're shipping with the product. And in terms of JUnit improvement, easier way to add test cases to your JUnit tests. You can test one method, and you don't have to test everything at once. So that's a lot of new features in those two areas. For team development, that's been a big critic in the past, where people were asking for more features in terms of team development. So two things here. One, we have added support for more like source control system, Perforce or PVCS, which is called Dimensions now, or Subversion, or new systems that we now support. And we have also updated our support for the existing source control we were previously supporting, TRKs or CM or CVS. And for CVS, we've really spent a lot of time focusing on it, where you have out of the box the integration with CVS. You just install CVS, as you can see all your changes are pending. You can see what you want to commit. You can see when there's a conflict. You can see how you do want to merge the conflicts and which version you should choose or which mix of the two code you want to use. So pretty well done integration between the two, and works for any type of files, whether Java files, but also XML files. Also, when working with your code, you can see the history, what has changed. You can compare one version to another. Like, there are plenty of new features in team development that we have added in that release. A lot of them were already available in the early access release. I'm sure you've already taken a look at that.
What about the subversion support? Is that going to be as extensive as the CVS support?
It's not going to be as extensive, but almost. That's the you know, the focus was 10.13 on CVS. Now the focus is going to be shifting in Subversion because that's really
More and more projects I see are using Subversion because you have better support for folder renaming and file renaming and stuff like that.
That's exactly what we see as well. So that's really where we're going to shift our whole focus on Subversion now because that's really where the demand is for more and more projects. So Subversion is going to be available as an extension, and we're going to keep on adding things to our Subversion support so people can download a new a release of the extension once in a while.
Okay.
And as far as JDeveloper itself, you know that we've started this JSR 198 to allow people to extend the tool through a standard API. So people can build extensions to JDeveloper in a standard way, in a way that could work with other IDE supporting the JSR. Then
who's
10.13
participating? Who is participating? Because I don't think Eclipse is part of it, right?
No, Eclipse is not. With Borland, we had other smaller vendors. We're working with Eclipse to see how we can adapt the JSR to have something that would make sense between the two environments.
Yeah.
But at least I think a reference implementation of the JSR now with 10.13 and showing a live example of it, we hope that this is going to create some ideas with other vendors, and we hope that other vendors will implement their extensions using a standard way as well.
Okay.
The check for updates is also a new feature in 10.13, something that we are going to use pretty extensively. You've seen already on the first time you start JDeveloper, JDeveloper starts to look at if there's any updates available, and we are going to provide a lot of extensions through that mechanism. Extensions like samples, the ADF SR demo is available like this as an extension, but also new source control system we want to support, new utility that we want to offer, or even patches that we could provide that way. That's something very convenient that also our partners will use. We have partners building extensions using this these public APIs, and we're exposing the extensions coming from these partners through the check for updates. So that's the coding environment, like at a glance, the productivity enhancements done in that area. The other big focus, like I said at the beginning, was supporting J2E 1.4 and beyond. First thing about EJBs, making sure that we support like EJB 2.1. So I don't want to bore you with all the JSRs that have been implemented in this new spec of J2E 1.4, but pretty much everything that is part of the spec is supported at design time within the tool. Big thing for EJB 2.1 is for people doing NCT beans and deploying using container managed persistence. Now we offered a way to use TopLink as the persistence engine for CMP beans. So that's the new addition at runtime for the support for EJB 2.1. The big thing in that release regarding EJB is probably the support for EJB 3.0, where, as you know, we've been pretty involved in the definition of the spec for EJB 3.0, along with a bunch of other vendors. And we, with TopLink, we have provided, we've donated part of a TopLink persistence to the Java community through the JCP. So the EJB 3.0 persistence is done through the TopLink engine. So at design time within JDeveloper, we offer wizards to create new EJB 3.0s. We offer annotation insight. You know, with EJB 3.0, you can annotate your code with metadata to define how your POJOs are going to be persisted, and we offer all the annotation insight in there. So you can create your session facade out of your bean pretty easily through a couple of wizards. Have you looked at the EJB 3.0 at all?
Yes, I have. In the early access edition, because I have to check out the production version. Because that's the same thing. I mean, there were a couple of bugs that were really, you know, not helping.
Okay.
I think
well,
it's
very
native,
it's interested to get your feedback after you look at the production one.
Yeah, I will get the feedback to you. Yeah.
And this is something we're going to continue to enhance. EJB 3.0 spec is still evolving.
Yeah.
And we are participating to this evolution, and we'll make sure that we refresh both the application server and the tool to support new iteration of the spec.
Okay.
In terms of web development, well, that's, again, support for everything that comes with J2E 1.4, with a new version of JSP, and Servlet 2.4. I'm not going to spend too much time there. In terms of strut enhancements, support for multiple configuration files when working with struts, and also support for tiles. So that's the couple of things we have added for web development with JSP and struts. The main features in terms of web development in this release were probably towards Java Server Faces and the new visual editor that we offer. So the new visual editor, it supports both JSF, JSP, HTML, and you see here in the slides the tag selector bar, like a new features in terms of web development when you are working with whether a JSP or an HTML or JSF. You can see the structure in this bar, and makes it pretty easy to select what you want to select in a hierarchy of your tags. Also, new expression language binding editor. Both JSP with JSTL and Java Server Faces are doing a pretty extensive usage of the expression language, and now declaratively you can pick your expression language from this panel. It's pretty cool. Also offer expression language insight and things along those lines. Also visual CSS support, so you can open a CSS file, you have like color coding, and you can set properties. So another nice addition for web development.
That introspection part of that EL binding edit is pretty interesting. That really helps.
On which respect?
Well, you can browse possible sources for the expression.
Yep.
That's very nice.
Good. And that's something you're going to see more and more, because that's really a great way to do declarative development by using expressions, standard expressions that way.
Yeah. But just, it's always a question of how do you find the exact name of something, right?
Yeah.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah, both the picker and the insight helps it in that regard. So a lot of focus in this release in Java Server Faces type of development, where we have the support for the faces config in a visual way, or through like more of a dialogue overview type of way, or directly in the XML. Also, full JSF visual editor. I'm sure you've all tried it, so I'm not going to spend too much time there. But that was a big focus. That was like a major new feature for this release. And JSF.
Do you have any really slick demos of a JSF application? Because if you look at the SR demo, it's really a technical demo.
Yeah.
And a little while ago, a company was evaluating rich internet application solutions.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons they didn't pick ADF was because they didn't see any slick demos. I mean, most of it is like editable table with the Oracle browser look and feel instead of a really, nice demo that shows what you can do with an interface like that.
That's,
do you have anything? Because I think at Oracle World, for example, I saw some demos that I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
All kinds of, cool stuff on the page. But if you look at OTN, there's not something, that
really... Well, that's good feedback. I think you're right. More and more, we're gonna have to show this. We have already a lot to show in that respect. I guess we haven't done enough of these type of sexy demos to show this to the world.
But yeah, because you have to sell it to the designers as well, not just the developers. I mean, the technical people like it, if it's they like the code and stuff like that. But if you want to sell it to marketing people or graphic designers, then they will they need more of a visual demo, I think.
Good point.
The developers aren't the one buying it.
No, well, exactly.
Sometimes it is, but you're right that if you want to make much more momentum with it, we need to show a much more sexy demo for this.
Yeah, because that's the main reason, right? Because you have so much user interface possibilities with JSF, and then you expect a demo with a lot of those features in it that show you how to do stuff like that.
What I'm trying to do is to have access to a server outside of the firewall so we can expose a very rich application that people can actually play with.
Exactly. That would be very cool, I think. Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to work on right now. But even before this happened, we could very well have, like, if you like, showing much more rich UI than the one we're currently showing.
Exactly. In the meantime, you can... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be a good idea, I think.
Well, except at the same time, I mean, I think it ought to be a different demo. I mean, I think it's really important to get developers off the ground in this thing. And therefore, keeping the... you know, that core developer guide demo to be focused technically to try to, you know, show people how to get the guts of the architecture up.
Sure. I really like that guide. Don't get me wrong. But, if once the developers are, convinced, you still need marketing people and designers to show them what the user interface could do.
That's a combination. The guide is here to show how
exactly
to build an application. And the other demos would show, hey, look at how cool this is. And
exactly. It's totally a different group of people that you have to convince with different tools and different stuff.
Yeah, from the ground up, I think you ought to make a separate demo that's, you know, maybe light on the underlying architectural nuances and very heavy on the cool foo-foo.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, some of that's in the SR demo, though, right?
Well, I don't know, because at Oracle, I saw some demos that had a lot more features. I think they used UIX at the time, but it was a lot more impressive than the SR demo is more technical impressive.
Yeah.
It's not impressive for...
You straight some of the points you can do, but it was not like to do everything about the UI. I think that's a very good point, and this is something we can improve in the next month, something we can do very short term.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea, yeah.
Yeah, really go crazy with Ajax.
Yeah, let's do this. We are supporting. We're coming there. We're going to talk about it in a minute. So,
okay, cool.
In terms of still support for J2E, all the support for all the J2E specs for management, deployment, and also support for third-party servers, and we've updated the list to support like the most recent versions of the third-party application servers. Everything for web services too, because J2E 1.4 introduces the right specification for web services through JAX RPC, so support for everything around JAX RPC, whether for the web service or the clients. New visual WSDL editor, so you can visually look at your WSDL, edit your WSDL visually, but always being able to come back to the source and to the XML version of it, so if you're more comfortable with it.
I think that is really nice that you added that. I think it was also in the early access edition, right?
The WSDL, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
It really depends. When people have been working for like years on a WSDL in the XML file directly, they sometimes have trouble to use it visually. But I like it visually.
Yeah, especially if you have a large file that you didn't, design, but you got it from somebody else, then it's really nice if you have a visual overview of the file.
Yeah.
You don't have to use XML Spy. You can just, do it in your own editor. So I think it's cool.
Okay. So support for also all the recent web services type of standard around management, reliability, security, and so on. I spent too much time there. In terms of XML, support for JAXB, support for XQuery, support for debugging of your XSLT, and support for working with XML with a database. So you can register your schema with XMLDB or register them and work with the database that way. In terms of UML, so brand new look and feel for all the UML modelers. I'm sure you've seen this. And new sequence diagram. That's another UML diagram we have added in that release. Something pretty cool with this diagram that doesn't appear on the slide, but you can actually have a debug session and have you're debugging your Java code, for instance, and you can have your debug session to appear in your UML sequence diagram. So you can create a sequence diagram of your code while you're stepping into it in a debug session. And that's something pretty cool to visually look at what happened in your debug session.
So is that performing at all?
Excuse me?
Is that performing, or does it make it very slow to debug?
No, it doesn't make it slower to debug. But at the end of it, in all the different breakpoints you put, you can see the sequence diagram of your code.
Okay.
That's good for understanding then the different relationship between different pieces. Database development, new stuff has been added to it too. Where in the 10.1.2 release, there were objects, database objects we didn't support. So we have extended the type of objects we do support with the views and the sequences and so on. We have a declarative view builder, so you can create a view and create your query declaratively. We have finally in place table editing, where you can look at the table, look at the data, and edit the data right from this an interface.
Super cool.
What about the Raptor application that just came out? Is that functionality going to be put in JDeveloper instead of this functionality, or is it an additional?
Incrementally, we are going to get the features that are in Raptor within JDeveloper. But currently, Raptor has built all this functionality for the database developer only, based on the JDeveloper shell. But because we are using the same shell, then it's going to be easier for us to integrate what they've done within JDeveloper in an integrated.
Yeah. But why don't you integrate it right now?
Well, 10.1.3 just got production, so we had different schedule there.
Okay.
But for the next iteration of JDeveloper, we will integrate like features from Raptor.
So, and then this current support for database development will be replaced by Raptor, or?
Well, it would be replaced by if things are better in Raptor, and things would be added to Raptor. For instance, right now there's no modeling within Raptor, and by having the Raptor features within JDeveloper, that would probably replace most of what we have here. But
yeah.
We would add on top of this all the modeling and stuff.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, because I've been using it, and I think it's better than the database development features in JDeveloper.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty slick. They've done a great job at it. So yeah, we'll integrate these features. That's what's cool about having this tool being done on the shell that JDeveloper offer.
Yeah, and then can you choose whether you want to download the whole and install the whole IDE or just the Raptor part, because there's also people that don't want the whole Java.
Currently Raptor, you can just install Raptor only.
Okay.
That's the reason why things have gone a little bit in the tangent that way, because database developer, they don't want anything about the J things.
Exactly.
They're kind of scared as soon as they see this. So
yeah.
Raptor was really geared towards that goal, to have one tool for the database developer and nothing else.
Okay.
Where does the Raptor team live? Is it in the application development side or over on the database group side?
They are in the database group, but we're working very closely with them.
Okay, so you're effectively loaning them your shell, but they don't actually live with you guys.
That's right. We give them the shell, and we give them all the features they need and help they need to build their features, to build their tool on top of our shell.
Okay.
So it's not going to be like an extension for JDeveloper, right? It's really a...
Well, we're looking at how to make this integration happen, whether can we have an extension that would be in addition to the features we have, or is it going to be another release of JDev that includes the Raptor features within it? It's not decided yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be an interesting integration project.
Yeah, like any integration project. So finally, Oracle ADF, major new features in 10.1.3 for ADF 2. So that's the ADF architecture, when you see the different choices in technology-wise for different layers. So as you can see, at the view layer, something has changed between 10.1.2 and 10.1.3, because we have added JSF and we have added ADF faces. One thing that you don't see here, well, you should be able to see it soon, is the UIX. Well, UIX, we have rewritten everything, all our components that we had in UIX within ADF Faces. We'll come to that in a minute. So we're recommending people to use ADF Faces instead of UIX now. So you can see the different support for the technologies in all the different tiers. something important to look at is that this is the stack, again, that Oracle Fusion is using for next generation, where all the view layer is being done with JSF and on top of ADF.
There was talk about a UIX to ADF basis converter.
Yes. There is one.
There is one. Okay.
There is one. It is going to be released as an extension. I just don't want to release it until it's been tested with people, you know, with customers on real apps. And that's why we've asked the members of the customer advisory board if they wanted to test it.
Oh, I see.
And I don't think you've replied to that, Peter.
I guess I missed it.
I can ask Simon to resend it because we are going to send the link to the converter this week.
Oh, all right.
For testing.
All right.
And if people think this is great, then we go ahead and ship that in like a month or something. So talking about ADF and new technology choices, if you look at 905 or 10.1.2, we've really focused on the business component stack, where we're really often recommending whether JSP or Swing type of interface on top of business components. Even if you look at 905 and 10.1.2, the ADF that I control were really coming from the business component area and working very well with business components, sometimes not that well with other type of technologies. So if we have really streamlined the technology, then this technology stack, and apply much more resources and time on supporting other business services and mainly being able to write toppling plain old Java objects and exposing these objects through a session facade and then exposing the session facade as a data control so you can bind this business service to your JSF pages. So we took that
stack. Do you have, because there's not a lot of books around about toppling, right? Are there any good references if you want to, you know, know more about toppling?
There are good references on OTN. They have a very good doc also. I don't know if there are books. I'm sure there's book.
Well, I checked. there's I couldn't find anything.
I think I even found a
Nothing.
Well, the documentation is pretty extensive. That I know.
But there's not a lot of how-tos, right? If you want to know how to connect your top link to XML instead of, you know, a database, then you really have to read the top link development guide, which is, you know, like a big PDF. There's not a lot of tutorials about top link, I think, on OTN.
Okay, well, that's good. Again, good feedback. Is something we can have more granular type of how-tos on common type of operations.
Yeah, especially when you start, you know, it's a bit, you know, it puts you off if you have to start with a guide that's like a couple of hundred pages.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. It could be interesting to see what was your first priority of how-tos that you would expect when starting with it.
Yeah.
It would help us, you know, having this type of feedback too.
Sure.
So that's okay, good feedback. If you look at the SR demo, that's really the stack we've used. We've used Toplink in the back end, exposed as a session facade, exposed through data control, and JSF.
Yeah, and it's really nice that you explained also in the developer's guide what the different stacks are made of and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really like that you put that with the JDeveloper version. I think that's a really good idea.
Thanks. So that's the big thing about this stack also is that, again, with Toplink, you'll be able, people building application with Toplink today will be able to move to EJB3.0 pretty quickly when the standard is final. So big focus on this, where we have taken a lot of the features that we had in business components and exposed it at a higher level so other type of business services can also take advantage of it. And that's been a big refactoring effort we've gone through. I'll come to this in a minute. So as far as the view is concerned, ADF faces, big number of components, even though, like we were talking about, we don't show them enough, and we don't show like the richness and the coolness of those components. But there are a bunch of these components ready, coming from UIX, offering advanced functionality. AJAX functionality with what we used to call PPR, partial page rendering, which is really built on top of AJAX, and this is something we need to say more and more because people might not recognize that we have already a solution using this technology. A bunch of features on top of this any standard faces components. They're all accessibility aware, of course working with the binding layer, and there is this customizable look and feel, these skins that you can create, so you can change the entire look and feel of your app, which is pretty cool.
Are you changing the look and feel of the components then, or just your more like a cascading style sheet type of thing?
You can change the look and feel of your components themselves. For instance,
okay.
You can have a skin you can apply to your application that will change how your tab looks like.
Okay. So and it's really, you know, flexible? The skins, you can define your own skins or?
Yes, it is very flexible.
Okay.
It might require, right now, it's not very declarative to build. It might require for you to look at the documentation, look at examples, and it's not that visual to create. It's something we need to work more on. But this is something you can reuse today to build like a very very different type of applications.
Okay.
With very different type of look and feels.
Okay.
The other thing interesting about IDF Faces, we have been working with the open source community, mainly in the MyFaces community, and we have donated our IDF Faces server-side components to MyFaces, to Apache MyFaces. That technology is now becoming open source technology.
So it's all your server-side... Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's not easy to find from the MyFaces homepage on Apache.
You're not going to find them yet, because we just, you know, started the... We just donated them. There's a whole process to go through. They're looking at all the code, and we have to decide whether it's going to go to the incubator, like an incubator project, or rolled into MyFaces directly.
Oh.
So this is in process of that right now.
Okay.
So is that also going to be developed as MyFaces then, or are you going to develop your own flavor of server-side components?
We are going
to...
Our plan is to stay in sync, where the community will continue to improve the components and we'll sync up, you know, at some milestones of the open source project. Will sync up and get the new version in IDF Faces.
Okay, but you will also develop your own component, server-side component still, or how's it going to work?
Well, we're still going to contribute, what we'll do, we'll contribute to the open source project for the server-side components.
Okay.
We'll have like developers here that are committed to developing into the project right now.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to contribute to it and sync up with our with IDF Faces to add new things to those components part of the IDF framework.
Okay.
So it really has to be a separate part of MyFaces, right? And you're not...
It's more up to them. I think, you know, we are donating things to them, and we are discussing with them to see what is the best way to do so.
Right.
It might be total part of MyFaces. MyFaces already has some components, and it could be just like a new set of components on MyFaces.
Right.
Like I said, things are still being discussed based on various different things on the open source project. Probably what's going to happen is that we're going to go into an incubator, which means all our components are going to be there. We have to show the momentum in the market before it becomes really part of MyFaces. That's the whole Apache process.
Yep.
So here you have some components of IDF Faces. Something very cool for Faces also is those rendering kits, where for the components we offer with IDF Faces, we offer different type of rendering kits, whether browsers which produce HTML, or also for wireless or PDAs, but also Telnet rendering, or even Instant Messenger type of rendering. And we're talking about cool demos, talking about like exciting people with the technology. That really talks to a lot of people when they saw this type of demo. And this is probably what we need to articulate a little bit more also on OTN. You guys saw that demo?
Yeah.
Of a Faces applications rendered as Telnet or rendered as an
Instant
Messenger?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Interesting.
So ADF Swing, a couple of new features there, mainly on the layout management side of things with the integration of the JGuidi's layout managers. Another thing that's true for all the views, whether JSF or Swing, is this UI-first data binding. If you look at 9.05 or 10.12 in ADF, you have pretty much to always create your business service first and then drag and drop your business service onto your page so you can create the UI that maps to this business service.
Yeah.
Some people don't work that way. Some people are going to design their UI first, and then they want to bind their existing UI to the back end. So that's this use case we've worked on for 10.13 to offer what we call this UI-first data binding, where you can build your page and then drag and drop an object from the data control palette to an existing UI object and do the binding that way. As far as the ADF model is concerned, this is the reference implementation of the JSR 227 for the data binding. And we offer new type of data controls, the JB3O, web services, and more. And like I was saying before, a bunch of the features that were available only for BC4J, like UI hints and sorting and declarative validation, have now been put at the ADF model layer. So you can use these features within with TopLink or with EJBs or web services. So, of course, support for TopLink with the new features, some of the new features mentioned here, with ADF business components, also a couple of new features there, some in the team development, the ability to name your query and name your variables. There are like a bunch of features that I'm going to go into right now for sake of time. And you have much more information available on OTN. If you just go to the JDeveloper webpage, you'll see the list of new features, and you can drill down into all these new features. One thing that I want to reiterate before we close is that what are our key messages with JDeveloper, just want to have an idea of how we position the whole stack. First, integrate it where it supports the entire lifecycle, from debugging, source control, coding, deployment, and not only for J2E, but the entire platform, because JDev integrates all the design time for the platform, whether it's wireless development, portal development, integration, and so on and so forth. So the integrated message is like a big message. Productive through the visual declarative aspects with ADF. Standard, because we want to offer this choice of technologies and choice of deployment platforms. No vendor lock-in. And strategic, because we have these thousands of customers, but also with Fusion, we have like 5,000 developers working with the tool, with ADF. So that's not something we just throw over the fence. This is something that that's really strategic for us. What's next? So here are a couple of things you can expect coming up. One is the SOA release, Service Oriented Architecture release, that's going to be a new release of JDeveloper coming up, 10.13 release, that will include, on top of what we already have, the Beeple design time. Beeple design time is already integrated with 10.12, and we will offer it part of this SOA release integrated with 10.13. It will include also the visual XSLT transformation and an updated version of EJB3O based on the new iteration of the spec. Don't ask me why, when. that's the catch. It's going to be this year. Another thing that's coming are the portal JSF components. So you can create a page, a JSF page, and within this page, add a portlet component. So you could render in place within your JSF page any WS archetype of portlets. And when you run the page, you'll be able to customize the page using the metadata services layer. And you'll be able to say, on my page, I want this portlet to be at this location. I want this portlet to be hidden or to be displayed, things along those lines. Again, this year. Ajax components, we've talked about ADF faces, more than 100 components already there. We are working on more components and more renderers for faces, and we are investing a lot on Ajax, where JSF is really our development model, but we are really investing a lot on Ajax technology itself to provide this very rich type of user interface that you were talking about, where we can do this very cool demos. We are going to have an early adopter release of these new Ajax components again this year. Finally, we are working also on our release 11, so the release after 10.1.3 and after these intermediate releases I just talked about, where the focus is on adding more and more declarative and visual features, adding more and more features that are meeting the requirements of our e-business suite developers and for Fusion, and a big focus on metadata-based development, where we want to make sure more and more every artifact that you're working with in ADF are based on metadata, and that you have a whole common layer to manage this metadata to this MDS, metadata services, so you can store this metadata whether in a file system as XML or through a database repository to allow you to do repository-based development, but also repository-based deployment, so that would offer a lot of personalization and customization features out of the box.
That's not this year, hopefully.
That's not this year. Any questions? Sorry, I'm a little bit over the time.
Yeah, is ADF Swing going to make it into Fusion, or are they going to work entirely thin client?
So far, I haven't seen any requirements for ADF Swing. Mainly, as far as the UI is concerned, all the requirements are more on the Ajax components, on offering a rich user interface within a browser. That doesn't mean it won't be used, but so far I haven't seen any requirement for it. Any other questions?
I'm still trying to get a sense of ADF bases, and I mean these are really your flavor of faces, and of course the thing that makes me frightened is that doesn't this sound a lot like DAX?
That's very different, though. It's not our flavor of faces. Some people say this is an implementation of faces. Not at all. These are standard faces components. You can take those components and put them into like Visual Studio Creator for Sun and build an application with them. These are really standard components. This is not our flavor of the standard at all.
Okay, so we don't have to use your faces to be able to bolt them to ADFPC?
You can use any type of faces components. You can use the My Faces components, for instance. The thing you don't get out of it is this drag and drop data binding. But what you do get, though, with faces, you have the way to bind any UI component to the backend through an expression language. So as long as you you can expose your business component attributes through a backend bean, a JSF backend bean, you have access to all of them, all your binding from EL with any type of JSF components. So you can use My Faces as a UI, My Faces components, to bind to your ADFBC application.
Okay, but it won't bind as cute as if we use your Faces components.
That's right. It will not be as drag and drop as it is with our components, because our components are, we have added features on top of them to support that.
Right.
But nothing prevents you to work with any Faces components and bind them using the standard Faces binding to any backend.
Yeah, it'll just be annoying.
Depending on where you come from. It can be annoying, or if some people are going to say, hey, this is what I want because I want to work only with what Faces offer. I don't want to use what Oracle provides. You know, it really depends where you come from.
Sure. Any way you can get in and try to take a random Faces component and make the binding drag and drop? Or is that just not a doable thing?
No, it's something that would be doable. Just we have to focus on something where we have like 100 plus components that we had to wire up. But that's something that would be totally doable.
Okay. Because that would be way cool.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Regis, I just had the two follow-up things. One, I replied to Simon about that UIX to ADF faces converter already.
Okay.
I just now.
And okay, cool.
The other thing is I looked in the production 10.1.3 and I still can't find the JSF, JSP refactor. So
okay.
If you can find it, that would be great. I'd be
I'll send you information about that. I'll make that confirm.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Then I guess the only other point I want to make is I guess the same rant I've been doing for the last few calls of that I'm still trying to get a handle on what is Fusion and what are the objectives and the milestones, and then strategically, what's going on with Fusion middleware so that we can sort of intelligently talk about whether the direction of Fusion middleware is meeting the mission. I still don't know what the mission is.
That's probably something that I don't want to address in a 2 minutes talk, but that's something that could be a whole focus on another call where we could articulate that vision and those milestones.
So
that's something we could spend an hour on if you're through this channel if you're interested in.
Well, I mean, I kind of thought that was our mandate, or at least one of the core mandates of what this committee was about, was to be able to. What I understand is that there's two visions here. One was that we're supposed to be, your evangelists, and the other is to give you meaningful feedback as to the appropriateness of the technical direction.
Yes.
And we are absolutely flapping in the breeze with respect to the second mandate because we're in the dark.
Well, it's hard to evangelize when you don't have the info.
Yeah, I mean, we can sort of evangelize about just some of the tactical features, but I still feel like I can't even intelligently talk about what Fusion is because I don't really know what Fusion is.
Have you watched the webcast that Charles Phillips was when he was presenting at the San Francisco City Hall about Fusion?
Yes.
Did he bring any answer to your questions or more questions?
Virtually none whatsoever, yeah.
Okay. So I guess that's I was asked today to give you an overview of the 10.1.3 features on JDEV, which is, I agree with you, much more tactical.
Sure. I mean,
but this is something we can definitely plan, and I don't want, that's the last thing that we want is to have you in the dark regarding the strategy. Like you're mentioning, that's the whole remit of that group is this, that you are our ambassadors, our evangelists, and you need to be totally aware of the plan and talking about it to anybody you want to evangelize. So let's have another call of that nature being scheduled where we can spend our time more on a strategic type of attempt and give you a rundown on what Fusion is and making this distinction between the Oracle Fusion architecture, Oracle Fusion middleware, and Oracle Fusion, which are like the three things that we would need to go over to have a clear idea of what we're trying to do and what are the different pieces and how they fit together.
That would be great because as it stands, I mean, I can't speak for the other folks, but I feel completely stupid.
Well, I think it would be nice if, because you have so many questions, that we would be able to put up some questions in advance because I'm a little bit afraid of having another presentation of, those slides with the components and some of it, it also depends on, your line of work, I guess, because to me it's not such a big issue. I'm more into the Java development and top links stuff like that, the middleware stuff, and not as much in the Oracle apps. So it depends on, I guess, where you're coming from, what your most important questions are. So I think it would be a good idea if we not have another presentation about Fusion, but have a more Q&A session where people have the opportunity to ask a lot of questions instead of just listening to a presentation and then at the end tell you that they didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could suggest
last time as well, that if we could get a where we get to drive rather than you guys drive.
Okay, I will absolutely work on getting that set up and getting a couple of the folks from the app side and from the middleware side as well on the call so that we can make sure we cover everything.
Yeah, because I do like the, you know, more general presentation, so you have a, you know, a general feel for what's happening, but then, you know, if you want to know more, it's important that we have more interactive sessions.
Right. So are you okay with continuing on this path that we're going when we're covering the separate components, but we'll also...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The same goes for this presentation. I think it's very useful to have, you know, like a good, clear vision about what JDeveloper is about. But, you know, after that, there should be a session that we, you know, we have some time to think about it, and then, you know, we can put a lot of questions, maybe up front or maybe at the conference itself, and then, you know, have more interactive sessions.
Yeah, maybe we can give you like a month's notice of when the upcoming sort of that Q&A session, and then maybe through the forum you can sort of present the, you know, three or four areas where you have questions and that you want to
Yeah, cover. Something like that, yeah.
I think it'd still be useful to have a couple of slides that would overview the top level, you know, showing the three fusions and what they're involved with, and I think that'll prompt more questions.
Right.
But the predominance should be, you know, dialogue.
But don't put together an hour presentation next time.
No. I'm saying
questions and drive what's going on.
It was more. It should be more like 5 or 10 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, what we have upcoming next at the end of February, I have EJB scheduled with Doug Clark.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming up. I already have that coming up, but I will also work in sort of what we're talking about here is a more Q&A session, less presentation, more discussion.
Okay, cool.
But it focused on the kind of the high level, right?
Right.
Okay. Good.
The overall, just exactly what Paul was asking, that kind of overall fusion vision.
Yep.
What's where are we going with fusion? What's the vision? What's the strategy behind it?
Yep.
Yeah. What's the project plan? What's the project plan? What are the milestones? What are we trying to achieve within the next 6 months to a year? And how's it going to happen?
Right, and I think, like we just pointed out, it's what, you know, that Charles Phillips presentation at San Francisco City Hall was supposed to present, but apparently that was probably too high level for you guys.
No, it's just more marketing.
Right.
That's, you know, that's grand and glorious. You know, we're going to make your teeth whiter.
Right. Okay.
I don't need that.
You'll absolutely put that together.
I kind of know, like, you know, by Feb 17th, we're going to try to make a data warehouse that's going to, you know, take the core areas from the different products and put it into a place, and therefore we need this and this in Warehouse Builder and these, you know, capabilities within JDeveloper, or we can't make the mission. I don't know what
right.
the mission is. I still don't know what the mission is. I have no idea.
Well, let's clarify that in another call then, and if you keep me in the loop for this, I think that such a call will trigger so many questions in all the different areas that it will be interesting to have different people available to answer them, meaning people on the architectural level, at the fusion middleware level, questions at the development and the technology stack level, and people at the apps level to articulate the vision for on the app side too.
Yeah, we might even be looking at like a 2 or 3 part call because we're looking at a lot of different folks from all the different areas. This is, we just pointed out, the architectural level, the
right,
all the development level, all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
One would hope there's somebody steering the boat that we could talk to.
Well, we'll see what we
don't
can
worry, Paul.
The
there is someone.
All right.
I gotta go. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye bye.